Let us pray. Gracious God, as we reflect upon your word, grant us understanding, draw us nearer to you, and inspire us to reach out to your world in love. Amen. What do you think is the command which is most often repeated in the Bible? Is it something like, behave yourself, shape up? Or is it say your prayers or worship God wholeheartedly? Well, actually, it's none of those. The command we find once in our reading from Genesis, as God speaks to Hagar, comforting her and assuring her of his continuing care, both for herself and for her son. And it's the command that appears three times in our gospel reading, as Jesus speaks to the 12 before sending them out to minister to the villages of Galilee. It's don't be afraid. Jesus knows that the 12 are fearful. It's clear that not everyone to whom they are sent is going to respond with joy to the message of the coming of God's kingdom among them. Jesus himself faced some serious flack, including the accusation that he, Jesus, is the evil one, Beelzebub. And they, as Jesus' disciples, can expect no better treatment. Fear is, of course, a natural reaction to threats and criticism. And while it can have the protective function of warning us of the presence of danger, it's more often a handicap, paralyzing a person and preventing him or her from taking any action at all. And if fear arises just not in an expectation of difficulty in carrying out an action which is expected of us and for which we've prepared ourselves, it's also about facing the unexpected, the premonition that all may not go well. Our own present situation over the past few months, the threat posed by COVID-19 pandemic, is to some extent an example of that. We've been careful about hand washing and social distancing and the instructions not to go very far from home. But we're still somewhat fearful that we might somehow come into contact with the virus. As Jesus sends the apostles out, he knows that they are going to be afraid. The issue is what fear will do to them. He does not want them to be so paralyzed by fear that they're unable to fulfill their mission and then become overcome by shame that they have failed to live up to the expectations they feel that Jesus has for them. So in our gospel this morning, Jesus reaches out to allay his disciples' fears and to give them courage to move beyond those fears. He urges them to trust and rely on God's care for them, reminding them that God lovingly watches over the life and death of even the smallest and least valuable of his creatures, the sparrows. He assures the disciples that God knows every detail of their lives. God knows that they are people who are loyal to the truth, people whose deepest desire and trust in Jesus as the Lord of life is to live in integrity and truth, despite what outsiders say about them. And because of that, God will be with them to support them in every crisis. And also, yes, there's more. Jesus can see that Israel in his day was faced by enemies on two different levels. The obvious ones, the ones that had power to kill the body, the Romans and Herod and their underlings. But also more dangerous demonic enemies too, who were attempting to subvert the Jewish nation by encouraging a desire for vengeance as a means to obtain justice and a return to greatness for their nation. But to see vengeance as a way to freedom is to choose to fight against darkness with more darkness. Jesus says, These ideas are to be feared. The disciples and we are not to be drawn into the net of such scheming. We can trust God to deal with such people and be sure that as we make clear to all the desire to live as Jesus' people, God will continue to care for us. The new kingdom that Jesus brings through his life and death and resurrection, the kingdom of which we are a part, has very different rules from the kingdom that it supersedes. The reign of Jesus brings challenges the status quo. For people of biblical times, family and kinships were the most valuable thing. That's what's going on in our reading from Genesis. Sarah's fears concerning Ishmael are that he might usurp the position of her son Isaac. After all, it's through Isaac that the great inheritance of Abraham has been promised. And for most of us, family is still pretty important. Many of us have found the most difficult part of the restrictions on travel and contact imposed by the Corona-19 pandemic have been the inability to be with family. But Jesus says that those who have chosen to follow him, for them, family can no longer be a primary loyalty. We are called into a new relationship, a new family, based on our loyalty to Jesus. And this may mean that we are, in some senses, alienated from members of our families if they too do not share a loyalty to the Lord. But there's another side to this, of course, because as Christians, we find ourselves members of a new family of brothers and sisters in Christ. All the same, these are stern and uncomfortable words that we cannot ignore. The passage about fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and so on is a quotation from the prophet Micah about the terrible divisions that would always occur when God was doing a new thing. One of my favorite authors, Tom Wright, notes that when God acts to rescue his people, there are always some who declare that they don't need rescuing, that they're quite comfortable as they are. That is why the challenge to the disciples in Matthew's gospel and to us has to be so sharp, because people prefer comfort to challenge. But the challenge of Jesus' sayings is matched by the remarkable promises he makes to those who accept them and live by them. Our loyalty must primarily be to Christ, our Savior. As Paul points out in his letter to the Romans, in baptism we are joined to Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So we don't have to cling to the mode of life that society and others expect of us. We can be open to the challenge of speaking God's justice and love, knowing that even should it come to us risking our lives in doing so, we remain alive to God in the fellowship of our risen Savior. Jesus says to the 12 disciples he sends out with the message of the kingdom, "Do not be afraid. Trust in God's love and care for you. Remember that God knows you so well that he's counted the hairs on your head." God sends us with that same message to our world, and we too can trust on God's love and God's care for us. Amen.